Now on the Business Radio X Network, just Ask the Gals, social media solutions and education.
Hello, you're listening to another episode of Ask the Gals. I'm Lisa Benson with Two Busy Gals, coming to you live from the Stewart Title Building here in Tucson, Arizona, with Tucson Business Radio X. Today we have a great episode for you. We're going to be talking to women who are in jobs traditionally held by men, or who have worked in jobs traditionally held by men. And we are joined by Cheryl Caswell and Karen Bradley. Thank you for joining us, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I am with Two Busy Gals, and we do social media marketing. So we can manage your social media for you and your business and come up with a great marketing plan to advertise and promote your business and maximize your sales on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Pinterest, any of those platforms. And we do it and make it fun. We not only do that, but we also can teach you how to do it yourself. So if you are a do-it-yourselfer and really want to do your social media on your own, we can teach you in a class and show you everything you need to know using your accounts to log in and show you how to use your social media. Or we can do it one-on-one with you and answer all your questions that way. So that's a little bit about what I do. We've been in business for 11 years now, and the owners came from Ohio, so we've got clients on both the East Coast and the West Coast now, and we love what we do. We have a lot of fun doing it. So, Cheryl, I know you've worked in a few male-dominated industries, and why don't you tell us about what you do and about your history?
I am Cheryl, and I'm with Gavi Appraisal. I am a real estate appraiser here in Tucson, Pima County, Arizona. I have been doing real estate appraisal work for 26 years. It's traditionally mostly males that I meet in the field, and about 77% of real estate appraisers are actually male. And most of my bosses and supervisors have been male in the industry here. I am a mother of three, and we have a lot of animals at our home, so I live out in the country more and tend to travel to a lot of the destinations around Tucson. And so I appraise in about a 50 to 60 mile radius of my home. I previously, as a very young lady, my husband and I, who we weren't married at the time, decided we were going to become semi-truck drivers. So at the age of 19, I went to truck driving school with my husband. And unfortunately, after graduation, I learned that I would not be able to go over the road truck driving with him at the time because I was not 21 years old. And so most trucking companies wanted you to be 21 years old to leave the state, of course, with their large semis. At that time, I started driving the mobile mammography truck for the University of Chicago, and I would drive it to different locations around the Chicago area, and we would park for a day or two, and we would perform mammographies for ladies, and then I would move to our next destination. So it was my job to keep the vehicle in good operating condition, to get the vehicle where it needed to be, to make sure I had it into the service regularly. And so I really enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun. And when I became 21, I went over the road with my husband, and we saved our money to put down on our first home. So at 23 years old, I was able to buy my first home, and I retired.
That's fabulous.
From truck driving at that time.
Oh, cool. I didn't know all of that story. What an interesting a business to be in, especially yes. at that age.
Yes, and it was a lot of fun. But I retired early, thinking we were going to make start a family then. And the area we moved to had a lot of real estate development going on outside of 100 miles outside of the Chicago area, and that's I knew I wasn't a salesperson, so I looked into other avenues in real estate. I really love architecture, and that's when I found real estate appraisal. At that time, the SNL bailout had just occurred of the 80s, and real estate appraisal became a licensed profession. So I had to, of course, do college coursework for that licensing.
Wow.
And now here I'm still 26 years later doing appraisal work.
Great. And Karen, tell us about you and your company.
Okay.
Your history.
My name is Karen Bradley. I am the owner of EcoTrack Fleet Management. We do GPS tracking for vehicles. So anybody that has a vehicle and they want to know what their drivers are doing or where they're at or if they're idling or spending unnecessary money, we can track all of that. I've been in the industry for about 9 years, but started EcoTrack on my own in 2016. So it's going on 4 years now, or almost 4 years. And it's a great business. It's, you know, I really help business owners keep track of their vehicles, their employees, their costs. They know if they're doing things that they're not supposed to be doing, but they also use it to help protect their employees as well. So we have a lot of instances where people are, the employees have not done something, and they're able to prove it with the tracking that they were not at that place at that time, what they were accused of doing something. So there's lots of variety in what we do. But interestingly, when you were talking, Cheryl, about the keeping track of that vehicle, we can also do that. So we can also check the maintenance and know if it's needing oil changes or fuel filters or tire rotations and keep track of all that. So it makes it a really simple place to have something all in one spot where they can have all their vehicle information. And then get notifications that, hey, you got an oil change coming due, and it doesn't go. I've had a couple of vehicles that we had to take the device out of because their employee forgot to have an oil change done. So the truck was dead, completely dead, gone, engine gone.
Oh my gosh.
So things like that really cost a business owner a lot of money.
So you're saving people money through maintenance and one thing you didn't say is, you know, making sure that they maximize their time and maximize their mileage to
right.
get where they need to go in a timely manner
right.
so they're not using a ton of gas to
right.
go from one location to the next.
And,
so.
You know, routing is important, especially for these people like pool companies where they're going from job to job to job. I just had a guy that I found out, he said, I'm not getting the tracking right. And I said, well, let me look at it. So I looked at it, and his guy started his day and never turned his car off. So he'd go to a job, clean the pool, come back in, leave the car running, come back. He was spending $350 a month just for the guy to idle.
Oh, my gosh.
So it makes a big difference. And I always tell people, look, you don't know. What you don't know is what's happening. It's, you just have no idea. And a lot of times these guys don't do it intentionally. They just don't think that, you know, that's going to cost the business a lot of money. Or they do side jobs, you know,
right.
and they use the truck at night or, you know, all kinds of. I've heard the craziest stories you can't even imagine.
I bet.
So, yeah.
I bet. So we're going to talk today a little bit more about the challenges we as women face in the workforce. We've had on our last few episodes, we've talked about financing and how it's a little bit harder for women to get financing when we're trying to do our own business and everything. But especially in these male-dominated jobs, we can be perceived differently, maybe not treated with the same respect that men are in these situations. Out networking for sure. I know one of our shows we talked about the challenges that us women face out networking. Are we treated differently by men? And what do we have to do to overcome that? So I'm a numbers person. I'm a statistics person. My past is in market research and advertising research. So I always have numbers. And if you could see right now, you'd see this big paper up here with all these numbers on it. So over the last 40 years, they've done some testing. LinkedIn has studied data from over the past 40 years. And over the past 10 of those years, the proportion of female leaders in the workforce has increased by an average of just over 2 percentage points among the 12 industries that they were focusing on. And they were focusing on industries like STEM, software and IT services, manufacturing, entertainment, hardware and networking, and public safety. So like firefighters and police officers and stuff. So women aren't taking over these careers as much as we had hoped they would be, or much as we thought they would be. And still, men are dominating in a lot of these areas. For example, 62% of men are lawyers, while as only 38% are. Women are lawyers, sorry. Veterinarians are dominated 54% of the market. Surgeons, 67% of men are surgeon as compared to 33% of women. So we're still seeing these big number gaps in the difference between men and women. And I know also there's been a lot of issues with pay lately. We've heard about the women's equality and men are always getting paid more. And so I'm just wondering, both of you, I'll start with Cheryl, especially in truck driving, how were you treated differently than your men, male counterparts when it came to the truck driving industry?
Luckily, as I went over the road with my husband, well, at the time, my fiance, we were both paid at the same rate, and it was paid by mile. And a lot of team drivers for semis are across the country because they can operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so they prefer to have teams. And I noticed at that time there were a lot of male-to-male teams. I see more and more female drivers today, and I see more and more male-female couples as a team driver. So people that have come out of the retirement and back into the workforce, I've noticed a lot of them are a couple. So a man and a woman that are have a relationship that are going across the country. As a young girl managing the mammography truck and stopping into the mobile truck repair and service, I was kind of coddled by that group of guys. They really tried to take care of me, wanted to make sure I had a good vehicle to get out on the road with. So I was a bit spoiled by those boys. So when I did join over the road with my fiance at the time, it was quite a different feeling, because I would often hear the remarks over the CB radio about me as a female driving. I would often walk into a truck stop, and it was very different to shower in a truck stop and such, where most of the facilities were groomed mostly for men. So you would have, you know, shoe shine, you would have haircut and barbers and such for the male clientele, but not as much available for the female clientele. And of course, growing up at a different time, there were the catcalls and things that happened in my day and age. So that was really the experiences that I found. But most people overall took care of each other out on the road.
That's interesting. This was in the mid-80s, late 80s?
This would have been the late 80s, early 90s, yes.
Okay. So, yeah, your data as of today says that 77% of truck driver, or no, back to the real estate appraisal, is male. Do you have any idea at that time what truck drivers were male, or do you still think it's highly male dominated?
I think it's highly male dominated. I think the percentage has probably changed a bit with the team drivers now, because a lot of the trucking companies want to hire teams. They're more profitable for them. So I think it's probably increased maybe at a better rate than the other industries that you have noted in your list. For real estate appraisal, that was a bit of an experience moving to the Tucson area in 1998. I was always told that I'd be paid partially in sunshine, which is true. We have a lot of sunshine here in Tucson, but sunshine doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah.
My first appraisal experience here in Tucson was with a very major lender that had an in-house appraisal group. That lender has since went bankrupt with the economy, and it was a local Tucson lender. They had their own in-house appraisal group that was also managed and named after the man who owned it. And I had the same licensure level as he and the same experience level as he. However, I was not hired by him. I had found the job listing online, and when I came to Tucson to interview, I had interviewed with the owners of the lender, not the actual appraisal company, which was interesting to me, being my first experience moving from the independent contractor field into a lender-dominated work role. So at that time, we wanted to see a bit of separation between lending and the actual valuation work. As a young lady, I, you know, hadn't contemplated that, was really excited about receiving my first job. And as I started with that job, I noticed he treated me differently, maybe because he wasn't the one that actually hired me, but the people that gave him the opportunity to do the work and supplied his office and so forth are the ones that placed me in his office as an employee. And then there was a gentleman hired shortly after me, and he had a lower licensure level than me. I'm a certified residential appraiser here in Arizona, and I can appraise multi-million dollar properties that are residential up to and including up to 4-unit properties. However, this gentleman was hired as a licensed appraiser, so he was one level below me. However, I found out through the grapevine as we were in the office, he was actually paid a higher percentage than I was for his work.
Just because he was a male?
Yes.
Yep.
And like I said, he had less experience and less licensure level. So it was a really difficult thing to find that out. And I shortly left that company and went on to become an appraiser with another appraisal firm. And then after that, even went to work with a lender, which was a much better experience than right. my first experience here.
So Karen didn't mention this at the beginning, but she also used to work for an appraisal company, which is very mm-hmm. interesting, with her husband. So it's really neat to see these husband and wife teams, because I don't know, I can't imagine working with my husband sometimes. So that's just great. But did you experience similar things? Because you were an appraiser during the same time period that she was.
So I wasn't an appraiser. We owned a real estate appraisal, commercial real estate appraisal company.
Okay.
And my husband was the appraiser and I ran the office.
Okay.
So I wasn't I was never appraising homes or commercial buildings at all. But, you know, I didn't see, because I was kind of in charge there and I was managing everything, I didn't really see a discrepancy or felt any different. I've been in a lot of male-dominated fields. In mm-hmm. my career, I started out in Tucson as I worked for an insurance company, and I sold mostly life insurance, and I did that for about 9 years, and then I had all my babies. I had 4 kids, and then we opened our appraisal company, and I started working with the appraisal company on and off for the entire time our kids were growing up, and then we did a few other things. We managed a executive suite, and we had tenants in our executive suite. I did that for a number of years, and then worked for another company for a short time, and found GPS tracking, and decided to open my own company because I wanted to be my own boss. And I haven't worked for somebody for so long, it would be really hard for me to go to work for somebody. So,
right.
And that's the same for me being, my first experience is funny as an independent contractor appraiser back in Illinois. I was really young. I was 23 years old. So I would go to a really, expensive home and people would think, well, where's the appraiser? are you here to measure?
Right.
So a lot of times they didn't see me as the appraiser. My husband later would visit them for another reason, another appraisal job, and they would be like, oh, the last little girl that came here didn't even look old enough to do an appraisal. And that appraisal office was in a real estate office as well. However, they were not affiliated, just renting space. But the gentleman within that real estate sales office would often see me as my boss's secretary. Mm-hmm. So they would often bring me papers and say, can you type this, sweetheart, honey? And I'd be like, oh, I don't do secretarial work. I have my own job position here. So it was kind of funny how the older generation would see me as the secretary for the boss.
Mm-hmm.
And the same for you, I'm sure, Karen, with the track, mm-hmm. fleet tracking and all of that.
It's a very male-dominated industry.
I bet.
Yeah, I'm one of the very few women in the industry at all. I mean, there are a few, but they're very few and far between.
Well, and what's interesting with yours is when I think of fleet management, I think of someone sitting in an office and with all these screens in front of them and watching as the trucks go by. And I don't know, I have a totally different view of what it actually is.
Yeah.
Can you explain
Well, really,
it a
my
little?
Role as a business owner is sales, really.
Right.
So I'm going to be out pounding the pavement and trying to get appointments with people to do demonstrations so that they can see how I can benefit their company. So my big thing really in the whole role of things, even though I am a business owner, I do almost everything, but my main role really is new customers, new sales. And so I will put a person, I'll do the demo, and then I will arrange, we have a local installer, I arrange the installer to do the installation of the devices, and then I go back and I do the training with the customers or the clients and teach them how to use it and teach anybody that they have in their office that will be using it, teach them how to use it. And then from that point, once they've learned, they're kind of on their own. Not that they can't call me with questions or, if they have something come up and they want some help. I've had people text me at 9 o'clock at night asking me, hey, can you tell me if, one of my gals was, can you tell me if my guy was an Oracle today? Because he was doing a side job and she thought he was and she wasn't sure and she wanted to make sure what she was looking at was right. So, I wear a lot of hats, but my primary role really is sales. And from that standpoint, I don't see, because I kind of work on my own, I work with companies and I resell some of their products, but I don't really work directly with people in an office or an environment. So I work with all kinds of different people, from the mapping platform to the devices to the SIM cards. And I feel like I get a pretty fair shake as a woman. I don't feel like anybody's ever treated me poorly. And I think it's because I've done really well, so they like me.
They respect you.
Yeah, I'm one of their top customers, so they've treated me pretty well because they want my continued business. So
one of the things I did read was that people want well-qualified candidates to do their work, and that race and gender and all those biases mm-hmm. that we've had in the past aren't mattering anymore. So we're seeing that women are sliding more easily into male-dominated jobs, but we still have a big divide. You were mentioning sales. Sales managers, still 41% are women, while 59% are men. And then general and operations managers, only 29% are women. So those numbers seem so low to me. And yet here I am sitting in a room with people who own and run their own businesses, and they're women. So, and I used to work for 12 years for an auto glass company. And that one is very male-dominated, not just in the actual installation of the auto glass in the window tint, but as the salespeople went in that industry. I was a salesperson, and I spoke to insurance agents, which, again, a lot of the insurance agents were very highly male-dominated. There was a huge group of good old boys that they all would get together and golf, and they marketed with each other, and they, you know, they'd have a golf team with their auto glass person and their you know, collision person, and then, you know, the big guys from insurance would come up and they'd all go golfing. Well, that kind of left the women out that who were trying to do the same type of sales. So it was a little harder for me because I had to get into the business to the traditional secretaries and people answering the phones to talk to them about, hey, how can I get in and how can I be your preferred glass vendor? And it was a challenge. And so we did have a man that worked with us, one, the owner's husband, actually. They owned the company together, another one, a husband and wife owner company. It's Roadrunner Auto Glass. We've heard from April before on this show. And so he would go in and just win over a whole office because he's a man, and he's a very good-looking man. So
he's charming,
and the women would just love to work with him. And then he would have, you know, the men, because, well, he's a man, he knows what he's talking about. And I don't think a lot of people know that women can know things too. Like, I love cars, and I could tell you all kinds of stuff about that type of glass that went in cars. And I mean, I couldn't give you prices off the top of my head because, you know what, all cars are different and all windshields are different. And people were really surprised to hear me spout off names of cars and models and makes and all of that stuff. So
kind of like my cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
Marissa Tomei.
I forgot about that movie. So anyway, so that was one of the challenges that I faced for sure in that business. And even now with Two Busy Gals, we are a very woman business. If you know us, you see us on our podcast. We're pink and black. We're two women. Our logo shouts woman. Everything about our business shouts woman. And it's because we want to have our own schedules and work our own hours and be able to take care of the kids. And I think that's become a big thing for all of us, and why women are starting to see more of an equal. The numbers are starting to come together a little more.
I think it helps that a lot of times we can work from home now too. And that, you know, it's respected that you, you don't necessarily need an office. You don't necessarily need to pay to go into an office when you can do the same thing in your home. And I would just like to add too, I think for women in the same role, it's just harder in general for really silly things. Like, it takes us way longer to get ready in the morning. You know, we're expected to look great all the time. A man can get out of the shower, jump in his clothes, and be out the door in 5 minutes. And, you know, we're an hour easily. And we're still expected to take care of the kids. We're still expected to, you know, maintain all the household and all of that, in addition to carrying a full-time responsibility. So when my kids were young, I was tired a lot.
Yes, I am. I am for sure.
Agreed.
So another thing that I was reading about and was about men coming into women's jobs and the jobs kind of switching back and forth. So one of the things that was really interesting to me is that when men start to get into women's jobs, like more men are becoming nurses, respiratory therapists, things that are associated with women.
Teaching
was on there for sure. There was another one. Administrative assistants are becoming, more men are becoming them. So now what's happening is the wages are starting to rise in those careers because men are starting to come in and do these things. and so the women are getting a little bit more equal pay. But one field that used to be dominated by women that I did not know about was computer science or computing. And that when that was dominated by women, wages did not increase for women. The men would come in and the wages would increase for them. And now women are the minority because they actually were kind of getting kicked out by the men coming in. So I thought that was an interesting fact there. And by the way, you are listening to Tucson Business Radio X coming to you here in Tucson, Arizona, from the Stewart Title Building. I am Lisa Benson with Two Busy Gals, and I am talking to Cheryl Caswell and Karen Bradley about their businesses, which are mostly held by men in other areas, and we're just sitting here chatting about the challenges we face as women and how do we run our businesses that may be different than what men do. So what do you guys think? What else do you have to add to that?
Well, I think, as I said, I think there are challenges that we face that men don't necessarily face, and part of it is the discrimination that we sometimes feel. And I have, in my lifetime, I've never felt, in all the industries I've been in, I've never really felt truly discriminated against, but I have felt like I've had to work a little harder to prove myself, for sure. So, you know, it's not always as easy as it looks. And even in my industry now, my numbers will show what I've done. So, you know, it's a black and white kind of thing. But almost, I get so many questions from people when I go out to the to meet a new client, or we're done doing the install and I'm at the table doing their training, and they almost always stop me and say, "How in the world did you get into this industry?" Because it just seems like such an odd thing for, especially I guess, a woman to do, because it is about cars and it is about fleets, and we work with a lot of different fleet people that do other fleet things like auto glass or you know, a car repair or tires. Any of those kind of people are always good people for me to have a symbiotic relationship with, because they also work with fleets. So I work with a lot of men in those industries as well, almost all men in all those industries. It's all about cars for me.
Right.
So
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's interesting to me that you don't feel any discrimination or, you know, left out, because I've definitely felt that as an auto glass. And
yeah,
like I said, even in Two Busy Gals, some of our biggest competitors are men-owned businesses, and they charge more, and they just seem to be out there more, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I think part of it is I don't really have any competition in Tucson.
Right.
That makes a big difference. I am the only local GPS installer or manager or company in Tucson. Every company that is my competition here is a national company, and they have no presence, so they don't have local installers. They don't have, you know, you're going to call an 800 number, it's a way I really utilize my sales is by telling people, you know, look, I'm local. When you call, you're going to get me, you're going to get my staff, you're going to get a live person. If you have a problem, we can be out there the same day, the next day, the day after. We try to make things as convenient for the owners as we can. And so that all plays into the fact that what they're looking for, the service. Because we're all so used to having these big conglomerates come in, and you get such terrible service, and they sign you up for a long-term contract, and then they give you nothing. And people are tired of it. And people, especially in Tucson, people like working with local providers. So it's, you know, it's advantageous for me. But I think part of the reason I don't feel that is because I don't have any...
You don't have any competition.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I don't, you know, I don't go to a networking meeting and see three other GPS companies there trying to, you know, steal business from me.
So my industry has changed a bit since the Dodd-Frank bill came out. With the Dodd-Frank bill during the mortgage and economy collapse of 2007 and 8, we had a new industry pop up out of that, and that was called an appraisal management company, who kind of serves as a middle person between the valuators and the lender. So we are not in direct contact anymore with our lenders. They have to go to a middle person to order an appraisal from me. Sometimes I think that that change is interesting. The lenders are now utilizing more apps. So I'm seeing the technology coming in where the consumer is able to use the app to choose the appraiser they want coming and to make the appointment for their own schedule. So we as an appraiser will provide that lender with a certain day and certain times that we have available for them. And based on that, that's how some people are choosing a certain appraiser. So it's kind of funny sometimes because I'll be chosen to do an appraisal and my husband will be like, oh, you don't want to do that one. I turned that one down. Yeah. You know, it just maybe some unique property situation that it's a business decision for us not to get involved in. But so I've received that order after a male maybe has received the opportunity first. But more so, I think nowadays, like Karen is saying, consumers of our products will now be able to be more proactive in their own, choices. I think, having the ability to choose their own appraiser gives them some feeling like they have some control in the process.
I thought that was part of the bill, that people were picking their buddies to be appraisers and stuff. So they were getting an unfair advantage, like better appraisals than if they went with someone else.
It was a coercion technique, and it was a good old boys network somewhat, because some of these lenders would have a few appraisers they had in their pocket. A lot of times I would try to respond to people that, tried to say, well, if you give me a little extra money, I'll give you, on that valuation, we'll give you more work. We've got 10 appraisal orders waiting for you over here. But that was never enough for me to escape to Mexico and live the rest of my life, at least on a beach.
Now, is your husband still, your husband's in the industry as well? He's also an appraiser?
Yes, and during the economy fallout, it was interesting because I'm a mother of three children, which happened to be triplets, so I didn't have a choice to go back to work. It was, if I went back to work, my paycheck was going to pay all childcare. So at that point, we were at an impasse because he was working as a manager of a machine shop. And that's when I actually trained him for my position. I was a staff appraiser with Bank of America, and Bank of America allowed me to train him, and he became a Bank of America appraiser when I delivered the children. And then the economy fell apart. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to see that change has happened, but I didn't have a choice at that time to, go and work in the field because of the childcare issue. And I think I've just lost my point there.
No, I asked if your husband was still in the industry. Oh, so, yeah.
Yes. But, this is where I was headed. So during that economy collapse of 2007, 2008, there was no appraisal work. There was very little lending going on. And two people in the same field of work is not, especially real estate, not a good idea, we've learned. But we haven't changed that. He kept his CDL license for truck driving. I actually decided to give mine up while raising the kids. I thought, there's no way I'm ever going to get back into truck driving. Then it hit me with the economy that, fallout. My husband went and worked and was the transportation manager at the Vail School District. So he was able to use that truck driving experience and help manage the fleet of transportation busing for the Vail School District. So that was an opportunity I probably could have kept in my back pocket, for that someday. But every couple of years, you have to renew with medical exams and so forth. And I just felt at that time there was not a chance on I would be doing that.
Yeah. Well, that brings up another point of us women having issues with jobs. And I mean, we have children and we have things like that that we have to quit to take care of. A lot of times I have to leave early from a place to go pick up my daughter, or maybe she's sick for the day. And as women, we're expected to be the ones that go pick up the kids when they're sick or need to be picked up early. My husband works in a 9-to-5 job. And so I wonder sometimes if people think, oh, well, she's not going to be as reliable because, you know, you never know when she has to run get a kid or whatever. So,
well, I think there's some truth to that.
It is.
I mean, even as an employer, there is truth to that.
Exactly.
You know, you hire somebody that's got kids, they're going to have issues.
Right.
It's just the way it is at that age. And, you know, it doesn't mean they can't be a great employee and they can't, you know, fulfill everything that they need to fulfill. But, you know, they also need to make sure they have backup plans.
Of course.
Because, you know, people rely on them as well. So it's a real catch-22 with what's the, you know, especially as a mom.
For sure.
You know, because you want to be there when your kids are sick. So for me, it was an ideal situation because we owned the business. My kids were sick, I just left.
Right.
Or didn't come in.
Right.
And or did my work at, you know, 10 o'clock at night, you know, so I wasn't bound by that, that feeling like I couldn't be there for my kids. And I had four kids that were less than 5 years apart. So the sports were like nonstop for like 8 years. Well, you know, because you had triplets.
Yeah, but I get everything done at one time. So
well,
you had
true.
An extended length of time.
Yeah.
I just had more at
only
one time.
It extended over 5 years, so it was pretty short. But, you know, there were times when we had, you know, volleyball and soccer and baseball. And, you know, my kids didn't play track, but we were in all kinds of sports. And I wanted to be there for those things. So I just had to work around that schedule. And fortunately, I could work and do a lot either from home or early mornings or late evenings or, you know, in the middle of the day and I'd leave. So it was a little easier on me, but it's hard. It's really hard on women who are expected to be at a job, and especially a top level job, you know.
I've noticed that a lot of working with my kids through the school at the time, that a lot of stay-at-home moms seem to be in our Vail School District area. It seems like we do have a lot of stay-at-home moms.
We do.
And I appreciated that because sometimes I've needed to lean on a mom that is at home when I have an appointment or something to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that is something, you know, that I appreciate is that there's that ability and commitment in our community to raising the kids. I think it's kept our school district really well rated, and we don't seem to have as many issues, I guess, as other school districts see.
It's such a change from the whole 80s view of the working woman with her shoulder pads and going into the office and the nanny she had to have. And so I feel like in this day and age, we are very fortunate to be able to work from home and still be the career women we want to be. And I think technology has helped that in so many ways, especially with Karen's job and the fleet management. I mean, I can do all my advertising and stuff from my computer now. I don't have to go into an office and, you know, come up with print ads or, you know, commercials and things like that. I can do it all on my computer.
Well, I think that's really interesting what Karen does, because I've seen a new pop-up industry kind of coming out, and that is private people renting out vehicles or RVs and things of that sort. So I can see a potential for her GPS within that. So even, you know, someone that has just a couple vehicles that they're doing their own small type business, not a real large fleet, could still manage.
Right.
Because, you know, mileage and location, where are they taking the vehicles to?
Yeah, like they're not supposed to go out of the country, so we could set up a perimeter so that if they go out of the country, you would know right away. Or, you know, even sometimes they're based on areas, specific areas. You're not supposed to drive in a, you know, past Arizona or, you know, whatever it is. So
right. Because my sister had just rented an RV to do a little camping, and that just crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. But also working in the truck driving industry when I first started, that was when a lot of that fleet management was just coming out in the early 90s. You know, they started out with some satellites on some of the semis, so some of our loads were dispatched to us because mm-hmm. they could see where we were located right. and know that there was a load ready and such. Yeah. So,
wow. And we can track anything. That's the thing that's really interesting is we track, we can track trailers, we can track heavy equipment like backhoes and what are those things called? The crane things, any equipment, construction type
technical
equipment
term.
We do, because they want to know, they might have one backhoe and they have 8 job sites.
Right.
And so then they're calling around going, do you have the backhoe? Do you have the backhoe? Do you have the backhoe? And, you know, it takes some time and it's time consuming. They can look on the map and go, oh, that's where it is right there. So, but we can also track pallets. So the drug theft has gotten so huge and they'll steal a whole semi. And now you can actually track that pallet and know exactly where that pallet's going.
Wow.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of that. But even with the new Amazon Prime drivers, I see there's a lot. They must be individuals, independent contractors, I would think, that are driving for Amazon as well.
Yeah. Yep.
So we are just about out of time here. Can you guys believe it?
No.
I know. So I just want to bring it back around to social media because that's what I do. And I just want to know real quick, does social media help you or hinder you in any way with your business? Real quick.
In my industry, it's very interesting. People don't search for GPS tracking very much. And so I have done a lot of work with social media. I still believe very much in it. I think you have to have a presence. I think you have to have a great website. I think you should be posting. But people in my industry, I'm not getting business from my website or from social media. That's
makes
just
sense.
My industry.
That makes sense.
And the same, you know, we had a website. We used to take appraisal orders right from directly from our website, whether they were lenders or homeowners that needed them. Very rarely now, we do have a small social media presence just to introduce ourselves, because I've noticed people that will Google our names to see, you know, who we are or see if they can find anything. I've shown up to an appraisal and they've told me they've Googled me or something. So, we have a website and I have a Facebook that we've put a small blurb on, and I try to link like the Tara Mala statistics to it and other media available. I link to my Facebook or Twitter, will tweet out, retweet of that sort. I think that just having some information out there just lends to the credibility in our profession.
Well, thank you guys both. You guys answered exactly what I hoped you would answer. That's something we teach as Too Busy Gals, that a presence on social media, whether you're actively using it or not, is always very important to prove your credibility, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, Google, whatever. So thank you for listening to Ask the Gals at Tucson Business Radio X here in Tucson.
Thank you, Lisa.